Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Mortons Heritage Railway podcast.
Quite right too. Okay, it's volume two in the fabulous world of Mortons and Heritage Railway and so on, and we're delighted to be able to bring you on this particular event the author of Mallard 75, Britain's greatest steam mode, of course. That would be the fabulous Robin Jones. How are you, Robin?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, the reason you sound as though you're on the telephone is you are on the telephone and you're actually out and about in the field, actually at a fantastic unveiling. So what unveiling is this then?
Right, well, I'm at Barrow Hill Roundhouse, which is the only surviving rail-collected roundhouse in Britain, near Chesterfield. This weekend, we're having the two A4 Pacifics that were repatriated from North America, alongside Bitten, one of the other four survivors that is in steam. They're being gathered together for a lineup of East Coast mainline motive power under the name Giants of Steam, which is in fact what they are. Mm. Today, Bitten has had a plaque unveiled on the side, marking the fact that this year it did three runs at 90 mile an hour plus, which is a record for the heritage era. I'm just looking at Bitten now. It's gleaming in the sunshine. It looks absolutely magnificent. And it looks like a great weekend for all, provided the weather holds.
Well, I'm looking at the fabulous brochure, the book that you put together, the Bookazine for Mallard 75.
Yeah.
It celebrated its 75th birthday, obviously, in 2013. Also celebrating its world steam speed record, which was Little Bytham on Stoke Bank on the East Coast Main Line through Lincolnshire, of course, on July the 3rd, 1938. Just before we were both born, I think, Robin, but still, never mind.
Yeah, but it's just up the road from where I live at the moment. It's near where we take the cats for their summer holidays while we go to the seaside. So I know Little Bytham very well.
So, as you say, all six surviving A4s reunited in York on this fabulous day from that point of view. This must be almost like Christmas, New Year and a birthday celebration, really, for train enthusiasts, yes?
It is. It has been an absolutely fantastic year. Mm. It's really broadened the appeal of railway heritage to the general public. These wonderful Art Deco locos and the two that people thought they would never ever again see in this country, brought back from America and cosmetically restored. Mm. And to line up all six together, you had two great gatherings at York. And this weekend is like half a great gathering. We've got three of the six here, including the two repatriated ones. But they are in a genuine rail yard setting, where the other two events have been in a museum setting. I mean, this is how they're meant to look. Standing in the tracks, all the grime, the grease, whatever. They look the part, even though they've been polished to perfection. But next weekend, and for the February half-term week, you've got the great goodbye, which is the last gathering of all six, and that's going to be staged at the Locomotion Museum in Shildon. There you will be able to see, photograph, and even ride on three of the A4s, again in a yard setting, but in a museum yard setting. But that will be the last time to see all six before the two have to go back to North America in April.
Now, proving that obviously not only are you an ace writer and have produced the Mallard 75 book of zine, you're also doing photographic duty as well. So lots of opportunities, presumably, to get the camera out and produce some wonderful images of this, sort of snapshots of magical moments.
Well, yes, this is it. It's a case of, if you don't go now, you will not see this again in your lifetime. It may happen again. A future generation might bring them back, maybe permanently, but it won't happen for the next two or three generations. This is really the moment to get out there and photograph them. The entry is free for the daytime events. Anybody can turn up. And if you don't go, you will miss out. Even if you've only got a moderate passing interest in railway heritage, this is the one to do. This is the one to be there.
Absolutely. Now, I was interested in the book of zine to find the roots of the name. And there is a suggestion, just a slight suggestion, that actually the mallard was named after the species of wild duck that used to inhabit the moat of Salisbury Hall.
Nigel Gresley was very interested in birds, and he had a moat and probably had a duck house long before it hit the MP's expenses scandal list. He named several of his A4s after birds, like the one I'm looking at now, it's called Bittern. There was mallard, seagull, osprey, there was a whole range of, a whole series of engines named after that. But his favourite loco of all was mallard, and that's why he chose it for the world speed record run.
And of course, Sir Nigel Gresley, who's just referred to, chief mechanical engineer of the London and North Eastern Railway, which is where the whole thing sort of roots together from that point of view. Now, you did say that obviously Sir Nigel isn't around himself because he's up in that great steam engine in the sky, or sorting things through from that point of view, but you have actually encountered one of his relatives, is that right?
Yes, his grandson, Tim Godfrey, is here today. He's obviously come along, obviously beaming with pride at, these marvellous examples of British technology, of which one of his ancestors was responsible for designing.
Well, again, we're looking at a photograph taken by your good self, Robin, of Tim Godfrey, grandson, as you say, of A4 designer Sir Nigel Gresley, on the footplate of the Dominion of Canada with the current Canadian High Commissioner, Gordon Campbell, that was recreating the photograph that was originally taken, of course, back in 1937. I mean, this is what I love about the magazine. You kind of juxtapose the whole range of things there with the Canadian High Commissioner of 1937 present when the Dominion of Canada was originally commissioned with Sir Nigel Gresley on the footplate. So, I mean, people don't realise, actually, but the unveiling of a train is a really significant thing. I've only been privileged to be at one, which was for a Grand Central Rail naming of the James Herriot at King's Cross. But it is quite unique, because it's a bit like launching a ship, isn't it, really, except it's on land.
Yes, it is, yes. Yeah, oh yes, it is. It's a proud moment. Back in the steam age, locos were named, they were tend to be given fairly heroic names or stylish names, like castles, Great Western castles were named after castles, largely in Great Western Territory, and there were duchesses and dukes and, named after various members of the aristocracy. I tended to lose interest myself in the naming of locos back in the 80s when I was a reporter at the Birmingham Evening Mail, and I was asked to go along and cover one at New Street, and I saw an electric locomotive being named at the Clothes Show live. I thought, suddenly, that doesn't seem quite right in railway history.
I see where you're coming from, Robin. Yeah, it's case of, whoa.
It's something that's going to be remembered for future generations, like Mallard will be.
Yeah. Maybe if they called it Emmerdale or something. Perhaps not. No. Okay, well, you did mention that we might be able to have a few words with the legend that is Tim Godfrey. Is he close by at present, in terms of...
Yes, he's standing next to me at the moment. Would you like to pass you over?
That would be wonderful. Well, if that's okay, if you can pass the phone over, we'll go directly to an amazing individual, Tim Godfrey. Tim, welcome to the official podcast for Heritage for Morton's Media Group. You must be very proud of the way that things are actually happening. You must be very proud, Tim, of this event and the whole sort of celebration of the whole mallard aspect.
Oh, very much so, yes. It's been Mallard's year last year.
Yes, yes.
Because he's celebrating the 75th anniversary when he broke the world speed record.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
Now, I'm looking at present at a photograph from your own collection, the Tim Godfrey collection, of a very young Tim Godfrey with your grandfather, Nigel Gresley. And I think you're actually standing on the railings, looking sort of into the future, really, in all sorts of ways there.
Yes.
Great stuff.
I was about three years old then.
Yeah, and as I just mentioned to Robin, the photograph that he took of you recreating the official launching of the Dominion of Canada, when in fact you actually were on the footplate, of the Dominion of Canada,
yes.
of Canada with, of course, the current Canadian High Commissioner Gordon Campbell.
Yes, indeed. Mm. Well, Robin's magazine, Heritage Railway, which is just one of the better magazines in the railway world.
Indeed.
Also featured my grandfather in 1937 with the High Commissioner of Canada of that day. And so I was asked if I would symbolically reenact the handover of Dominion of Canada to the present High Commissioner of Canada. Mm. And it was a great fun event.
And I've got to say, I do like the blue plaque that was set up for Netherseal Rectory, of course, where Nigel Gresley spent his childhood, where we actually have Sir Nigel Gresley, 1876 to 1941, pioneering
yes.
railway engineer, designed the Mallard and Flying Scotsman steam locomotives, and of course advanced
yes.
the modernisation of Britain's railway network, spent his childhood at this rectory, Derbyshire County Council, up from
his father was the vicar.
Yes.
And it was Derbyshire County Council who did the blue plaque. They do their own blue plaques. And the leader of Derbyshire County Council and I jointly unveiled the plaque. It was a great honour to be invited.
Mm. I'm just looking at you at the photograph of your good self on a family picnic, actually, here, which is very good, where we actually have a family dog as well. Does the dog have a name, or has it sort of faded away into the mists of time?
Is it a Springer or a Labrador?
I think it's a Springer. I think it's a Springer Spaniel. I think the one we're looking at.
If it's a Springer, it was called Pushy Boot.
Nice. Yeah. You see,
if it's a Labrador, it's called Jock.
Ah, well, you see, I mean, either Pushy Boot or Jock would have been ideal names, I think, for another sort of railway design engine, possibly. But, you know.
Well, he named an awful lot of his locomotives after birds.
Indeed, yes, is working through.
I share his interest in birds, and in fact, I also breed wildfowl, ducks and geese.
I mean, again, just looking at the whole experience, clearly apart from the ornithological aspects of the whole thing, it's really aspects like today that really give you a sense of the tremendous heritage and indeed influence that British engineering actually had, certainly in terms of steam and transport globally, not just in Britain.
Indeed, yes, and he died in harness, sadly. Mm. He didn't retire, he died before he retired, and he had so many plans in mind, electrification of trains and so on, which he never actually got to fully develop, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he was way ahead of his time.
What has been the
train going by now?
That's
so
okay. No, that's fine. it's all great stuff. It gives a sense of actuality of the whole piece, which is wonderful. I don't know if you can just about still hear us from that. What has been the highlight for yourself? I mean, in terms of trains, I mean, obviously we talked about favourites and Mallard, obviously very much at the front of the whole thing, celebrating, as we said, 75 years in terms of the whole piece. Is that your own favourite, or is there another one of the trains that your grandfather actually designed that you think, actually, I feel that's often unloved, and I'd like to speak up for that particular engine?
Which one?
Are there any other favourites that you have, or is the Mallard your own particular favourite as well?
Well, Mallard is a world speed record,
yes,
of course.
Yes,
which it broke in 1938. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's been celebrating its 75th anniversary this last year, 2013.
Absolutely.
But the 100th A4 Pacific, which he designed, was named after him, the Sir Nigel Gresley.
Yes.
And that is running, that's in full running order, and that's based at the North Yorkshire Moors Railway. And it runs on that line and also on open public lines.
And do you have a favourite yourself in terms of, if I was to push you, as the grandson of Sir Nigel, is there a particular area which you think, yeah, actually, I've always liked that particular train?
Well, I suppose Sir Nigel Gresley, which was named after him, is a magnificent locomotive.
Right.
I've been on the footplate several times, and it is as impressive as Mallard is.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all the finest locomotives.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose
they're built for speed.
If we cast your mind back to being Sir Nigel's grandson, and obviously working that, were you in the ideal position? Because most grandchildren, they might have a train set to play with. You actually had real trains, yeah, potentially to work with.
I also had a train set because on my first birthday, my grandfather gave me a Hornby 00 gauge locomotive Sir Nigel Gresley with carriages and a track, and it was clockwork, which made it most unusual because shortly after that, Hornby joined up with Triang and became, they had electric trains with three rails to begin with.
Right, right, yes, yes.
So that was a treasured possession right the way through until about 18 years ago when our house was hit by lightning.
Right.
And unfortunately the model was destroyed in the fire.
Right. Tim, there are so many memories. I mean, I think we need to set up a whole series of programmes just to share with yourself, obviously, memories of Sir Nigel Gresley and the whole thing. But thank you very, very much for joining us today. It's been truly wonderful. Oh, there we are.
Thank you for your courtesy. It's nice to speak to you.
Not at all. I'd absolutely delighted. If you pass the phone back to Robin Jones, that'd be wonderful. So there we are.
If I can find him, where's he gone?
He's probably off taking photographs somewhere and doing various other things to that point.
I think he probably is.
Yeah, it's what he does.
Anyway, nice to speak to you.
Likewise. All the very best.
A true
legend there. And of course, just a reminder, you're listening to a Morton's Heritage podcast, and in case you like to sort of access things, you can go on Facebook and access a whole range of details. Plus, of course, there's always this.
Hi, this is Rob Nichols from Fly Me to the Moon. You're listening to the Morton's Heritage Railway podcast.
Indeed, and it's a special event that is celebrating Britain's greatest steam moment with, of course, the bookazine Mallard 75, reuniting all six of the surviving Mallards. And, of course, we've just been speaking to the grandson of the great and legendary designer, Sir Nigel Gresley, at this fabulous event that's taking place. And hopefully we're back now with, there we are, Robin Jones, ace author and photographer. We're getting a sense of all of the excitement that's actually around, Robin. I mean, is this one of those days where you think, I'm glad I'm an editor of the bookazine for Morton's Media Group, and this is what it's all about? This is the enthusiasm, professionals, it's all good.
I feel very privileged. I mean, this is a VIP day before the open weekend.
Yes.
Obviously, we are able to get pictures without crowds standing in front or behind locos.
Sure.
And it's very nice. There's just been a high-speed train charter just arrived from London. They've been permission to come on the VIP day, bringing about 500 guests, and it's absolutely packed. It's just pulling in from the platform at Barrow Hill Museum now.
I think we're getting a sense of the thing coming through in all sorts of ways there. Looking at the bookazine yourself, any particular sort of areas or things? I love the photograph of the movie riot international low loader taking the Dwight D. Eisenhower from Liverpool to Shildon on the M58, which I thought was great. Because I often thought, how do trains actually get from one place to the other? But clearly, as they're getting the Dwight D. Eisenhower looking at the rising sun and so on, there is something magical about trains. I mean, we said in the first podcast that sometimes it's the scenery, sometimes it's the whole experience. But as we were saying with obviously Sir Nigel's grandson just there, there is a magic about the whole thing. Which can you put it into words? Obviously, you can because it's in the bookazine. But I mean, do you get excited at days like this?
Yes, when you actually see some of these magnificent, big, glamorous, big-name locos all together like this in the sunshine, you think, what a great country we are, the transport technology we've invented, what a technology, we were world beaters, and you think, that at the time when these were produced, Britain was coming out of a recession, a legendary bad recession, just like the one now. And Mallard hitting 126 miles an hour on Stoke Bank, taking the speed record off the Germans, they'd set it 2 years before. It was a source of immense pride in Britain. And when you see these locos, you think, no matter how bad the times are, you know, how lousy things are generally, we can always pull out of this. We can always do better. We can always be great. All we need is Sir Nigel Gresley back again.
Well, I think we'll put the word out now, Robin. You know, things will work out on that particular basis. Robin, it's been fabulous just sharing. Of course, it's your first official podcast for the whole thing. It's been wonderful sort of, I think that Brian was sitting in as the editor for the last bookazine. Are there any other sort of areas or folk you'd like to sort of catch up with you think we should actually feature? I mean, I think...
Well, we can do, but I mean, you know, it's... Basically, what you've just done, you've interviewed Elvis Presley, now you want me to find a few hands that got him, some albums, basically. You've got the star man.
Oh, I think obviously we're cooking with gas on this particular area, although I'd love to have an announcement which actually says Sir Nigel's grandson has now left the building, which would be interesting from that point of view, if we're keeping the Elvis thing going. I've got to say, one other photograph I do love, which was set up by Doncaster Metropolitan Borough Council, to actually mark the Mallard 75 celebrations. They actually got a giant floral tribute produced on the town centre roundabout, which is great.
Yes, that's right.
So brilliant stuff on that. And I'm going to ask you the same question I actually put to Tim Godfrey as well, actually, Robin. It's only fair. What's your own favourite train in terms of the Mallard collection? Or is that like asking you to choose between favourite siblings and such like?
Well, in many ways it is. I'll be honest, I love the A4s. I think they're magnificent. But the way I see it, they're like a one-off. Mm. You know, the shape, it's different from anything else that we've got.
Yes.
In terms of locos, you know, with a conventional appearance, a traditional outline, I've got to say my favourite loco is the London Midland Scottish Railway Princess Coronation Pacifics. Which the operational example at the moment is Duchess of Sutherland, based at the Midland Railway, Butterley. Mm. I mean, that's always cut to the mustard for me, that does. It's a fantastic loco. And I think many other people do, had it also been raced down Stoke Bank in 1938, it might just have pitched Mallard at the post, but it never had that opportunity. And history records of Mallard has got the record, so Mallard's still the greatest.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking actually at a I think it's an artist's impression from the coronation, the first streamlined train, King's Cross for Scotland, of the Coronation Scot. And six and a half hours, it says. Houston to Glasgow, Glasgow to Houston. Interesting stuff in terms of that. Certainly the test train.
Yeah.
We see here that in 1937, the test train took a curve at Crewe so fast in defiance of the speed restriction that the dining car crockery was smashed. Outrageous!
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Oh, genius. Robin, it's been fabulous working through that. As we've said, obviously, hopefully you're enjoying this audio postcard as well, but there's no substitute for actually getting hold of the magazine itself, the Mallard 75. How can people who are listening to this actually get hold of Mallard 75, obviously produced by your good self and the Mortons Heritage Group? Is it available in bookstores, or do they need to go online? What's the route forward, Robin? How do they get hold of it?
It's produced mainly for WH Smiths, but you can buy it at the National Railway Museum. We'll have copies on sale at the Great Goodbye at the Locomotion Museum in Shoreham next weekend. Or you can go to Morton's online or ring up the main number 01507 529 529 and order one by post.
There we are. Fantastic. Robin Jones, it's been a privilege speaking to you, good self, and many thanks for, obviously, as you rightly said, getting the equivalent to Elvis there. We might as well probably come back to you to sort out a few other bits and pieces, but for the moment, we salute you, sir, and enjoy the whole day. I'm envious, actually. I'll have to sort of join you on one of these location reports in the not-too-distant future, because we can... We're just getting out of
this.
Yes, excellent.
Yep. You're listening to the Mortons Heritage Railway podcast.
Yes, quite rightly so. And Robin Jones still not only being the editor of Mallard 75, celebrating Britain's greatest steam moments, of course, for Morton's Heritage Media. We are back with Robin at the grand event, of course. And Robin, you managed to locate somebody else that you think we should speak to and obviously share with our listener on the podcast.
Yes, this is Alexa, one of the main people at Barrow Hill, the roundhouse, where this venue is being held, where this event's being held.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Well, if you'd like to put the lady on, we'll have a quick word with Alexa and go from thence.
Okay.
Brilliant, there we are. Life continues.
Hello.
Hello, Alexa. Good to connect with your good self. So share with us tremendous excitement today that you've been having. What's the event gone like for yourself? How have you found the whole thing?
Oh, so far it's been, I mean, we're only just at the very beginning of it, of course. We've got two massive days on Saturday and Sunday, but even today, the excitement that's building here with the rail tour that's just come in, with 500 people from London, press preview day as well, of course, and everyone is just so excited to see Dwight D. Eisenhower and Dominion of Canada, our North American A4s, out in the sunshine. Mm. Believe it or not, it's sunshine here, no rain.
It's often said that trains and railways are boys' preoccupations, but hopefully you're putting that to bed now by basically sort of being one of the main coordinators of this event yourself. Is that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely, definitely. There are a lot of women involved in the railway movement. I think there's no way that it's just a boys and their toys anymore. Girls love this just as much. It's great fun, and it's one for everybody. I mean, the interesting thing as well with our pre-sales is the number of families that are going to be coming to the event over the weekend as well. So adults bringing children and just keeping the story of steam going. So it's all good news for railway preservation at the moment.
And what has your own involvement in the whole project actually been? I mean, just describe for our listeners effectively how long you've been planning for this, because presumably it's not just something you sort of decided last weekend. You say, let's do it then, you know, let's put it on, you know.
No, it's definitely a lot longer than that. I mean, obviously the critical ingredient in this particular event has been getting the two American and Canadian A4s here to the roundhouse. The original agreement was that they would only be seen at the National Railway Museum in York and at Shildon, of course, and but the NRM were a great help to us in negotiating with the locomotive owners. And they were delighted to be able to amend the agreement, but that's all taken time. It's probably been a good year in the planning, I'd say. Mm. But it's going to definitely be worthwhile.
Which is excellent. Of course, the roundhouse is for life, not just for a grand event of railways, etc. Yes. Presumably, as a visitor centre, it's open pretty much 24/7 throughout the year. Is that right?
Not 24/7, I'm afraid. Okay. The one of the main beauties, of course, is that those that already know the roundhouse will know it is an operational roundhouse. It's mm-hmm. the only operational roundhouse in the country, mm-hmm. With its mainline connection. But as a result of that, we actually do a lot of commercial work here. We have modern railway workshops here working Monday to Friday. So the museum itself is open Saturday and Sunday, but that is every weekend of the year except Christmas and New Year. So everyone's welcome down here. It's free entry by donation. Obviously, people would like to contribute to the upkeep of this amazing building. But yes, unfortunately, Monday to Friday, we are actually working. We are employing people and keeping the railways going.
Well, as I said to Robin, I was envious of him obviously being there and sorting things through. I think we must actually put this into our list of attend location reports and outside broadcast things. So hopefully we'll connect with you then in the very near future.
Brilliant.
and see the whole thing.
Question
we've been putting to a range of folk, including Robin and obviously the grandson of the great railway designer, of course, Sir Nigel Gresley, Tim Godfrey, when we spoke to him earlier, is favourite train. And I know it can be a bit difficult, a bit challenging. Do you have a particular favourite? I mean, is it the Mallard? Is it effectively the Dwight D. Eisenhower? Is the one which, from your own point of view, you think, yeah, that's the one? If I was sort of saying I'll have one train, that would be the one for me.
Oh, you know, that is so difficult for me because I have a huge involvement with the A1 Steam Locomotive Trust. Mm. And I mean, Tornado was what brought me into this world of steam trains. It's a really hard one. I love the A4s. I love all the A4s without exception. I just think they're the most amazing locomotives. But I think actually my vote probably goes to Green Arrow simply because I have a picture of me as a 7-year-old girl standing in the goods yard at Settle Station with that locomotive, and I think that's probably where it all started. So I think Green Arrow for me.
I think that's wonderful. It's like a superhero of a train, really. Could have been Green Lantern, but no, it's Green Arrow. It's been fabulous touching base with the good self. Hopefully we'll speak again in the very near future. All the very best now. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You're listening to the Morton's Heritage Railway podcast.